Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
It's the least of our problems this morning, isn't it? Today, I have doubts about the quality of the subtitles. If I start talking about Taylor Swift, Facebook, or Twitter, I hope that you all know me well enough to know that that's not me. We can chalk that up to the Holy Spirit if you like, but it's not in the sermon. It's good to see all of you here this morning. I love when we have these services. I know Lloyd does too, because the singing is just always so much better. It might be harder in all the ways, and special thanks to the AV booth, which is the real hero of the day up there. But this is a beautiful day for us to be able to do this together, which is why I have to do the thing that I hate the most, and say, again, if you know me, this is odd. Today of all days, no one should be sitting by themselves in church. Lance does not smell bad. I don't know what you all have a problem with Lance for. I don't think he did anything heretical. I don't think he's a bad person. I think he deserves love too. I don't know what email got sent out that said Lance has to be by himself. And not just Lance, a few others, but Lance seems especially quarantined over here. If you are capable, and if you want to make this more awkward for Lance, today of all days, don't leave people sitting by themselves in church on Sunday. This is your chance to get up, move around, find somebody who's by themselves, and I will regrettably hold the sermon hostage. Thank you. That's one and done. Again, if somebody's by themselves, don't let them be by themselves in church on Sunday. We just heard from most of our missionary partners who we don't just sponsor, okay? They're not just receiving money and funds. These are real people, real churches who exist because of the care and love that people like you are putting into these places. So naturally, we have to turn to the story that empowers that connection, the coming of the Holy Spirit. On that very first Pentecost Sunday, the Spirit descended not to isolate, but to unite. Not to confuse, but to proclaim. What began in Jerusalem has never stopped moving. As you hear this word today from Acts, I pray that our hearts may stay open to what the Spirit is still doing across languages, cultures, continents, and right here among us. Let us now hear the story of a church born in fire and sent in power, the word of the Lord from Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 21. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly from heaven there came a sound like the rush of a violent wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. Divided tongues as of fire appeared among them, and a tongue rested on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other languages, as the Spirit gave them ability. Now there were devout Jews from every people under heaven living in Jerusalem. And at this sound, the crowd gathered and was bewildered because each one heard them speaking in the native language of each. Amazed, astonished, they asked, "Are not all these who are speaking Galileans? How is it that we hear, each of us, in our own native language? Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, the parts of Libya belonging to Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and proselytes, Cretans and Arabs, in our own language, we hear them speaking about God's deeds of power." All were amazed, perplexed, saying to one another, "What does this mean?" Others sneered and said, "They're filled with new wine." But Peter, standing with the 11, raised his voice and addressed them. "Fellow Jews and all who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to what I say. Indeed, these are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. No, this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel. In the last days it will be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even upon my slaves, both men and women, in those days I will pour out my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show portents in the heaven above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and smoky mist. The sun shall be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the Lord's great and glorious day. And then everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. The disciples were together in one place. It takes a lot of work to get all the disciples together in one place. Even when they're already used to being in one building, to get all of you together in this one room at the same time is a lot of work. Worth it. But don't rush past this first miracle in Acts chapter 2. The disciples were all together in one place because Jesus told them to. They had seen him risen, they watched him ascend, they heard the promise that something more was coming. Power from on high is what they're waiting for. And they waited, and they waited. These were vague instructions they had, no clarity, just the memory of Jesus' words and the uncertainty of what comes next. And then suddenly everything changed. A sound like rushing wind filled the room. Divided tongues of fire rested on each of them. I wonder how many of them tried to dodge it first. I wonder how many of them tried to run away. Were they scared? Is this what they were waiting for? Is this what they expected? And then they began to speak, not in their own languages, but in the native tongues of those gathered in Jerusalem from across the known world. It was chaos and clarity, all at the same time. Some were amazed, others just thought they were drunk. But what really happened was that the gospel itself leapt out of a locked room and into the streets of Jerusalem. What once felt like limitation, the different languages, the different cultures that kept these people apart, became the very means by which the message of Jesus reached each and every ear. In that moment, the Spirit turned confusion into communication, hesitation into proclamation, and a waiting people into a witnessing church. The gift of the Spirit wasn't for a private spiritual moment. It was for a public mission. God's word had just become everyone's word. Our world is full of division: cultural, political, generational, linguistic. If there were 200 of you in this room right now, I guarantee you there is at least 201 different things we disagree about. Even within the church, differences keep us apart. Sometimes we default to what is familiar, to what is comfortable. We surround ourselves with people who look like us, who speak like we do, who think like we do. It's what we know. It's what we like. We support missions, we give generously, and yet we still feel disconnected from the work happening somewhere elsewhere. It's hard to see how one individual part can fit into God's larger story. It's why today is so important, so that we can see that there is a larger story than what happens in this room or in that room. There's something more than happens with just the people in this building. It's good for us to remember that God is so much bigger than just this one building. And as we face moments of spiritual waiting, like these disciples did, we need to continue to believe in the promise of God's power. But we still find ourselves unsure of what to say, how to act, where we belong. I know that it feels like the world is just too complex, too divided, too far gone for us to make a difference. But in the midst of all of this, while we are tempted to lose sight of the Spirit's movement, it's easy for us to forget that God is still speaking across barriers, still equipping the church to bear witness. Pentecost reminds us that the good news of Jesus was never meant for just one people, one language, one place. Too often we live as if we're still waiting for something else before we act. But in Acts 2, we see that God does not wait. The Holy Spirit arrives just as Jesus promised, and suddenly, powerfully, and with purpose, the wind rushes in and the fire rests on each of them, and the Spirit fills them all. Not some of them, all of them. What follows is nothing short of miraculous. People from every nation hear the good news spoken in their own language, and the gospel is not translated with subtitles or from a distance. It's spoken directly to each heart in the voice that they understand best. And Peter stands up. Of all people, Peter. Peter has to be the guy here, doesn't he? The Peter who denied Jesus is not the one who stands up that day. It's a new Peter, isn't it? Emboldened by the Spirit. He declares that what's happening is the fulfillment of God's promise, the Spirit poured out on all flesh, men and women, young and old, servants and free. The gift is not limited by status or language or geography or politics. This is the grace of Pentecost. The reminder that the good news of Jesus was not just for one people or one language, because the very things that once divided God's people now become the channels for which they are to connect. God doesn't call us to be a uniform people, but to be a unified people, each one filled with the same Spirit, each one proclaiming the gospel together. This is not just the church's past, it is our present. The same Spirit that filled the disciples at Pentecost is alive and active today. We've seen it this morning in the voices and the faces of our mission partners from around the world. Different languages, different contexts, different cultures. They don't worship the same way that we do, and odds are they disagree with us on some things that we believe, and we disagree with some things that they believe. But none of that prevents us from recognizing the same Spirit, the same gospel, the same fire. The work of the Spirit has never been confined to the past or to one place. It's happening now through those who serve in distant places and those who serve across the street. It's happening here in this room in a bilingual service where we glimpse what Pentecost looks like. A church that speaks in many voices but worships one Lord. And we don't have to be fluent in every language or travel across the globe to be filled with the Spirit. We only need to be open, willing to be used by God wherever we are. God is still sending the church into the world, not just with a message, but with power. The Spirit doesn't simply comfort, the Spirit compels. It sends us into neighborhoods, into cross-cultural friendships, into bold acts of love and justice, where we are not just observers of mission, we are participants. The Spirit has come, and the church is on a mission. Just today, you can all give me a hard time for this, that's fine, but sometimes good things happen to those who don't follow directions. My phone was not on silent. And as church started, I get a text from my father-in-law, who's in Sweden right now for a family reunion. We all wish we could be in Sweden for a family reunion. That's where he is. And he sends me and Faith a text showing us the bulletin from the church he's worshiping with in Sweden this morning, where they're doing the entire service in a language he doesn't know, except for the one last song that they sang in English. And he feels encouraged by being there. He has no idea what they're saying. He has no idea if he agrees with the sermon. He has no idea if on any other day of the week he would have worshiped with these people or thought that they were wrong about something. He doesn't know. But he does know one thing, that they worship the same God that he does. And so he sang words he'd mispronounced, words he didn't understand, just like many of you did today. Because that's part of this bigger story, isn't it? That on all days, on Pentecost Sunday, around the world, people are gathering in churches where they don't know what in the world's going on, but they worship anyway. God is still sending the church into the world, into your world, into your places, into your lives, into your relationship. At that first Pentecost, the Spirit gave the church a voice. At this table, we're going to wrap ourselves around and pile in on in a little bit, Christ gives the church a body. Just as people from many nations heard the gospel in their own language, so now people from every place are invited to receive the same grace from the same meal. It's at this table where there is no division, only invitation. The bread, the cup, these are not just symbols of a sacrifice, these are signs of our unity in Christ. One body, one faith, one baptism, one Lord. We come to this table not because we are perfect or powerful, but because Christ has made a way for us to get there nonetheless. And today we realize that the same Spirit that filled the disciples on that day in Pentecost fills this moment, gathering us, blessing us, sending us. Come with open hearts and open hands to receive what Christ freely gives. Let's stand and sing.